Air Force bases, if you...
Welcome to another episode of the Dawn Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and today is March 23rd, 2010. And this is episode 401. More about this program and the guests that have provided us with such fascinating conversations can be found on our website, www.exogenynetwork.com. The Dawn of Shades always tries to bring interesting people right to the audience to hear about both new and old ideas. We focus on the people, places, and ideas that don't always make the mainstream news, sorts of things that are often labeled alternative or paranormal. For the show tonight, if you would like to have a question asked, you can email me at gscott@gmail.com. And if I ever get on Pal Talk, you can do so through the virtual auditorium. I do monitor the email during the program, and if you're listening outside of the virtual auditorium and would like to have a question answered, do email it to me, and I'll try and get it answered for you. For those of you who are listening on podcasts, go ahead and email it to me, and I'll try and get your questions answered, too. In addition, we have a little bit of fun stuff going on. We're going to be giving away a prize, a secret, mysterious, wonderful prize. We have the drawing on April 1st, and if you would like to sign up for it, just go to www.exogenynetwork.com. That's exogenynetwork.com. Tells you at the bottom of the page there how to sign up. Send it to my email at gscott@gmail.com. Now, for those of you who like to feel connected, I am on Facebook and Twitter, and you can link to me there. There's also a Dawn of Shades fan page on Facebook, and you can look for that, too. If you like to read, I've got articles on a wide variety of topics available, and the links can be found on the website. Just click on my name. If you're a foodie, you'll even find some recipes for things that have been cooked up in my house here lately. Tonight does mark the beginning of a new year for the Dawn of Shades as we embark on our fourth year of a very unexpected journey. If anyone had asked me 10 years ago whether I would be hosting this program, I would have laughed. And November would have laughed right along with me if someone had suggested that she, too, would be doing such a thing. November Hansen, by the way, is one of our panelists tonight, along with Terry Garofalo and Angelica Del Mar. Not all of us end up where we think we're going when we embark on our path through life, and often we hit mountains, molehills, speed bumps, puddles, and even great big canyons as we make that journey. It's part of the fun. We can't plan everything. Tonight, we're going to do one of those really fun programs, and I invite all of the audience to participate. We're going to be giving away that very special prize on April 1st, so don't forget, go to the website, exogenynetwork.com, see how to enter. And don't forget, my email is gscott@gmail.com. So without any more blathering about this, that, or the other thing, we are going to introduce our guests. We're going to do it alphabetical. I feel like we're back in school. So, Angelica Del Mar. She appeared on this program during its first year. And Angelica, would you introduce yourself to the audience, please?
Hello, Gia. Thank you for including me in your anniversary celebrations.
Oh, thank you for coming.
I am an energy healer, and a few years ago I created a card deck for animal communication. So everybody out there who isn't psychic can still get messages from their precious pets.
Oh, it's very easy. I actually have your deck that came from you so long ago, right here in my hot little fist as we speak.
Hey, how about that?
Oh, yeah. Wow, got it out. It says playtime. It's a perfect card to come up right away when I open the box, right? And next we are going to have November introduce herself. So, November, who's also a host herself, will you please introduce yourself to the audience?
Oh, hello, everyone. My name's November Hansen. I'm the host of Voice of the People Radio that airs on Saturdays from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific. That's not all I do. I just finished writing a book, which I'm really excited about because I actually got it done. And, gosh, I don't know what else there is to know. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, well, that's a good start. And Terry Garofalo is a new visitor to our program. She is a paranormal cartoonist, is what I'm told. And, Terry, would you be so kind as to introduce yourself to the audience?
Howdy, folks. I'm Terry Garofalo from Entities Are Us, Ghost Puppet Comic, at Entities, HTTP, ENTITIES-R-US.com. It's a webcomic. New cartoons every day, gearing around the paranormal. And I've just put out a book that just came out recently, and there's a link on the website to that. It's called Entities Are Us, Ghost Hunter Comics. Normal humor for the ghost hunter soul.
Okay. Great stuff there, ladies. Well, you know what? We've had a lot of stuff happen in the last year. And as far as events, what do you think is the most dramatic thing that's happened in the past year? Anybody can just go first.
I have no idea.
No idea. I'm talking about impact as far as drama. I mean, like, you know, the year of Katrina. Katrina sort of, it was everything. I mean, it was everywhere. It was in our face all the time, even if you didn't live in New Orleans. And, you know.
Big impact.
Haiti, okay. How about you, Angelica, in November?
I would just say all the earthquakes in general.
Yeah. That's what I was going to say. The combination of all that and probably also the change in political leadership.
Yeah, well, we just had that health care pass, and that's created a little bit of drama, just recently. Although it mixed messages as far as how past it really is, but we'll see. We'll see how it comes out in the long run. It's a case of very few things get done where they're perfect in the beginning, and we all have a learning journey. So we'll see how it goes. If we're stuck with it as it's written, then so be it. We can always change it, right? And if it works, great. And if it doesn't, we'll have to fix it.
Yeah, it'll be all right. Everyone gets too worried about these things.
I agree.
Oh, yeah. I've got friends at both poles of the opinion on that. They think this healthcare plan is perfect and wonderful, and others who think that it's the devil incarnate.
Yeah.
So.
I don't think anyone really knows what it is, so I think they're all freaking out for no reason. It's probably something so bland and benign that it won't even do any good and it won't do any bad. So
from what I gather, the size of the bill alone, probably the people who passed it aren't real sure what's in it.
I'm sure. There's probably a lot of secret stuff.
Well, no, it's hefty, and for anybody to have read it, I gather it's hundreds of pages long, with amendments and adjustments and...
Yeah.
You might have an amendment here that adds something, and then an amendment later that takes the same thing away. And then another one further in that puts it back. And, by the time it all gets done, if you haven't read the whole thing, you might not know what it's about.
By then.
I was really kind of surprised to discover that bills can be passed in such a confusing manner. I really think that perhaps that's what we need to do is reform the manner in which bills are written.
That'd be useful. It'd be nice to make everything a lot more simple, and we could start with the tax forms.
Oh yeah, tax forms. I love those things. You're filling out a one-page form, and you got to pay somebody $250 for this.
Yeah, because there's so much stuff. I mean, my accountant saves me a bukus of money. I would never be able to do that on my own. I'm kind of a proponent of the fair tax. Have you read the book called The Fair Tax? I forgot who wrote it.
No, I haven't.
Yeah.
I tend to avoid books with tax in the title.
My husband
has
a total flat tax for everybody. Simplifies everything, cuts out almost entirely most of the IRS. A very good idea.
There's been a lot of people that have advocated that for quite a while. And Delica, in November, you're pretty quiet on this topic.
I am. I'm just really wait and see. I mean, they passed a bill that we really don't know that much about it. And so, there's going to be screamers on each side. So you just, I don't know, it's kind of a wait and see. I mean, how many times in the past has something been passed and everybody's all up in arms, and they're going to sue, and all this other kind of stuff, and 5 years goes by, and nobody even remembers what the thing was that was passed that everybody got all upset about. NAFTA, I think, was one that comes to mind.
Yeah, well, I remember, let's see, when the Homeland Security Act was passed, okay, everybody was predicting, you know, Big Brother was going to have us all in prison by now. And I don't know anybody who's gone to prison yet, do you? For that, anyhow. yeah, I haven't seen any sign of mass roundups of people to put them in FEMA camps or other horrible places that we've all heard the conspiracy theorists warn us of. So, you know, we'll see. You know, it hasn't turned out that bad. Although I have to admit, this whole flying thing has gotten so much to the point where that, combined with my lack of enthusiasm for doing it anyhow, by the time you drive, park, go through security, and wait, you may as well have driven there, you know? Especially if there's two or more of you going.
Yeah, just think, I got to do that in a couple of weeks, and I got one layover flight, I got to go from one to the other. I can just imagine.
Yeah, you know, I have to admit, I'm really not enthusiastic about it.
I'm afraid of what I'm supposed to bring, what I'm not supposed to bring. I know I'm going to bring something stupid.
Well, you're not supposed to bring more things than you're supposed to bring. If you go naked, not taking anything, you'll still get arrested.
Oh.
Yeah, they want you to wear clothes so they can
bring, you know, some art supplies, because I got to do cartoons for people, and I have
put it in your tech bag.
Pencils
are
weapon.
Put it all in your tech bag.
Pencil's a weapon. You can't take the pencil.
In your tech bag, it'll be okay. You just can't take, like, paints, because that's liquid and...
I don't need paint. I try to set
actually,
it on.
Actually, you know, all your cosmetics and shampoo, you can take larger sizes if you put them in your check bag.
Right. What if I'm not checking anything?
I stopped not checking stuff. Actually, I think I've never not checked, because there's so many things I want to take that I'm worried they'll take away from me if I carry it on. So...
I'm going to do a big search and destroy on the Delta website to find out what it is I can and cannot bring.
Yeah.
Because I have to go through I got a Paracon to be at, so there's stuff I absolutely need. And if it gets lost in baggage because I have a changeover flight, I'm screwed, like, big time.
Wow.
Well,
yeah,
how do people
manage with just those little trial sizes of shampoo and conditioner? Because that's never enough for me.
Well, that is not a problem.
You just
tell us something anyway, so.
Most hotels these days, you know, supply shampoo and whatnot. It probably depends on how long you're going for. And if you're going for very long, you know, at the other end, they probably have stores, too.
Yeah. Unless you're going to
Bungalow. Yeah, it's inconvenient. Anything to cost us more money.
Well, when my daughter flew to New Orleans last fall, she elected to not check baggage, partly because they charge a fee now for your checked baggage as well. And she decided not to check her bag. And she didn't have anything that was forbidden. She must have prepared quite well, or their website was convenient. And that made things fairly simple for her getting off the plane. She didn't have to go to baggage check. You know, and she had everything she needed, packed very compactly. And you have both weight and size limits on your carry-on. In addition, she's a diabetic, so she had to carry, you know, her medical supplies as well.
Well, you could get strip search for those.
Pardon?
You could get strip search for those.
They had to do it because she wears an insulin pump. They had to do a scan of her.
Right. Go into her innards and take all that equipment out to examine it and then put it back in? With the team surgeon on staff?
No, they didn't do all that. Her infusion set for the insulin pump, I don't know if any of you are familiar with it, but after the metal needle is used to put the... infusion set into the fatty tissue of the abdomen, that metal needle's removed, and it's just a plastic subcutaneous little gizmo that's left inside the skin. So, and she can actually detach her hose, that little tube, I call it a hose, but detach that little tube from the pump to that infusion set that's, you know, actually injected. Now, it's a big needle that injects that thing. I mean, it's not long, but it's fat compared to normal insulin needle. And for her, it gives her great stability with her insulin as a type 1 diabetic.
That's cool. I know has one of those insulin pumps, and it affects the EMF meters when you're investigating.
Oh, yeah?
Oh. And I thought I had something really interesting. It turns out it was feedback from his insulin pump.
Ah, okay. Well, you know, they have electric circuitry because hers uses 2 AAA batteries, you know, so there's that amount of juice.
Oh, sorry. Did I make a noise for you? Sorry, I knocked my phone.
Ah. But, you know, when you're doing investigations, Terry, what is an EMF meter? I mean, I hear people talking about them.
Yeah.
When I've gone ghost chasing, we didn't have anything fancy, okay?
It's an electromagnetic field reader. It reads the frequencies of the electromagnetic field, and supposedly ghosts give off a higher EMF field, just like computer equipment, your dishwasher, every other thing, you know. But you can actually you can find it, and you can follow it around a little bit. So that's how you kind of know you have a spirit.
Okay.
I did it on Sunday, and there were so many EMF readings from all the equipment because I was in a cafe, and it was like refrigeration this and refrigeration that, and it was impossible to get a good one. But if you're in a place where there's not much electrical activity, you can probably find whether it's a spirit or not.
Uh-huh. I'll tell you what my EMF meter is then. It's my dog.
Yeah, people and dogs, animals can read it too.
Yeah. I've had her really freak out in particular situations, and you know, if she becomes particularly fearful or aggressive to things I can't see, I'm assuming she can see them.
Yeah, she does probably. I know I can feel that stuff too. I sometimes buy appliances based on the feedback that I can feel with my hands because I don't like the feel of it. Like, I can tell if the electric fence for the horse is on. Just put my hand over it, and I can feel it. And I have you on speakerphone because I can't stand these phones next to my head because they just create a buzzing feeling to me.
And it's unusual. Usually speakerphones pick up a lot of feedback because I didn't realize you were on speakerphone.
I got a pretty decent system, so. And I got you in my office with the door shut, and so that helps.
I normally use a headset, which there again, it moves most of it, you know, away from me. I don't have the phone right up to my head.
My headset is great, so I don't use it. I went and spent all this money on this headset, and I don't even use it.
Oh, somebody's got a bird.
Oh, no, that wasn't a bird. That was a dog who decided that she wanted to dispute which direction she was going to go. I have 2 dogs that don't get along. And the little one will provoke an incident, which results in guess who getting hurt? The little one.
No, the little one. Home.
Yeah, the little one. Yeah, because one is 65 pounds and one is 25 pounds.
Oh.
And the 65-pound one is the Empress of the Universe. She rules, and she does not tolerate well insubordination. Anyhow, the normal procedure is that, you know, the one goes in the one part of the room, and I stand as a barrier, and she just decided the little one didn't want to go outside after all. She wanted to start something with the big one. And since I didn't figure that everyone listening to the program tonight wanted to hear a very large dog fight, she was getting pushed, and she didn't want to go that way.
Well, at least my parrot's on the bed. If he hadn't gone to bed, he'd be attacking the phone, so... He hates it. Especially if my husband's on it. Very jealous.
Yeah, well, you know, most of my crew is pretty well behaved. Sissy usually is, but she has her moments. She's my challenge child. Yeah, we all need one of them.
My
dog is just laying here sleeping. Don't even know there's a dog here.
My horse is at the stable. He's not here. I'd like him in my backyard again.
You know, one time I had the horses in my backyard until the day one of them came in the house.
Oh, my
How she got in, I don't know, because she had to go through a door, immediately turn to her right. There was like only maybe 18 inches between the 2 doors. then immediately turn to her left, go up two stairs, and immediately turn to her left again down a narrow hallway. How she fit through all these turns, I don't know. Well, I look up and all of a sudden I had a horse in my hallway.
Mine tried to go in the hayloft that had stairs going up there, and he went up between to where he was almost to the point where he couldn't have turned around to go up the stairs because it was too much of a right angle. But he was wedged between that and a drill press. And I'm glad he doesn't freak out normally. At least when I tell him it's okay, he stands there. So between that and my husband going around his backside, we had to back him out of that situation.
I had to back this one out, and I had raised her so she was as tame as a puppy.
Yeah, mine too.
And very trusting of me, because I had to guide her down backwards, down the stairs, with me at her front.
Yeah.
As she's making a turn.
Yes, she turned,
swivel her hind end, go down the stairs very carefully, because they weren't wide. It was back stairs. Nobody hardly used them. And apparently one of the kids had gone out and left the doors all open, and in she came.
Sure. Want to find out where you are?
Right, much. Horses are also not known for being housebroken.
Yeah, well, that's true. Did she manage to make a mess in your house?
No, I was surprised. Odds are, you know, yeah, I would have, but no, that day I didn't.
You know, when I come to animals, I keep it simple. I just have fish in a great big pond. If they want to fight, well, they can fight, and they're not going to get in the house.
Ah, no peacocks anymore.
No, he died a couple summers ago.
Oh.
He was old. He was been around for a long time.
Yeah, well, I do remember used to hear your peacocks in the background. I have a funny story, actually, about peacocks. We lived in a really, really small town in Arizona. My daughter was like 3 or 4 years old. And one day she comes in, she's just hysterical. Gotta go help that lady. What lady? She's screaming, help me, help me. And we go rushing outside thinking something is wrong. And I'm listening, I don't hear anything. She's like, you know, hear it? I'm like, I don't hear anything. And then she says, here it is, going, help me. And when she said it, she mimicked the sound that the peacock made. And what she was hearing was peacocks down the street from us. And it was, to her, it sounded like, help me. And I was one of those hysterics over nothing, but it makes for a funny story on her now.
My parents.
We would call them the help me birds.
Yeah, my parents say help me, and mostly because the African Grey was my husband's mother's bird. And every time something went wrong in her life, and she was an invalid for a while, she would always holler, help me. And then she'd scream her husband's name, cow. So when we first got the bird, that's all we heard was, help me, cow, in her voice.
Uh-huh.
And she had passed away, so it sounded like a scream with us.
That'd be kind of spooky.
Now the other bird says help me, too.
Oh, my God.
The voices have changed a little bit. He's not quite as emphatic about repeating the old voice. He repeats it in a different tone.
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, at least you didn't get it from a sailor or something where the bird was cussing.
Yeah, well, once in a while he says something rude, but not very often.
Uh-huh.
I want him to call people rat bastards. He hasn't done that yet.
Yeah, it's kind of like, okay, coaching children. All of us that have been parents, especially mothers, we're good for coaching children. We're going to be going and seeing elderly relatives. We want our lovely little child, you know, who's going to be dressed picture perfect,
yeah,
to
the
greet
angelic.
The elder person appropriately. Yeah, so I had coached my daughter for weeks to say, hello, great-grandmother. We get there, and with all the drama that can be summoned up by an 18-month-old, she says, hi, Great Poo Mama. Yep. That was the end of my coaching days.
That's funny.
Great Poo Mama.
My bird does the what's up. I got him doing that and a few other fun things, so I hope too bad.
Of course, in children, too, they're great parrots. All right. I had replaced any cussing habits I had with using the phrase nasty words, which can be said with enough emphasis to really vent those feelings. one day I was outside playing with my kids in the neighborhood. Kids were playing basketball. And I had scooped the basketball up off the asphalt, and in the process, I peeled back a fingernail. Now, anybody who's ever done that knows how bad that hurts.
Oh.
The fingernail sticking straight up in the air. My finger feels like it's 6 feet in diameter. It's going wham, wham. And I'm dancing around, holding my hand, going, nasty words, nasty words, nasty words, because this really hurts. All right, finally, I get the fingernail laid down. I get a Band-Aid on it. Life is good again. Well, the next day, I went to the grocery store with my 3-year-old son, and it was little old lady at the grocery store day. Now, keep in mind, I'm living in a small town where I'm already regarded as the, you know, like Scarlet Woman, all right? And I'm in the store, got him in the shopping cart, we're going through doing our thing, and every little old lady he saw, he looked up and quite innocently smiles and says, "My mama says nasty words." Oh, you think you could shut him up? You can't explain it. Any explanation is going to come out even worse than this. And it's like, you know, hush, hush. No, he's not going to hush. You know, no way. I think he repeated it 100 times. And, you know, I came out the short end of that stick.
Of course, they get a reaction.
No.
They think,
pardon?
They get a reaction to it. They're going to think it's funny, or they are going to do it all the time.
Oh, yeah, yeah. He loved the look of absolute horror on every old lady's face. Yeah. Yep, memories like that is what gives us all gray hair.
That's right.
Yep.
Actually,
and
it's a good story. I like those stories.
Yeah, well, they're fun stories. I mean, you know, yeah, I think about that, you know, that's one of the funniest things. And no matter how I didn't even bother trying to explain it, because if I said anything, it was just going to be worse.
Right.
And like I said, you know, I was so far from the accepted norm already that I may as well have gone around and painted myself with green stripes and red dots on my forehead, you know. I just stuck out.
Huh?
Where they looked askance at you already, and, you know, you were probably, you know, all sorts of bad things. Him announcing that I say nasty words is just fuel for the fire.
Well, you should have just said, nasty words, nasty words, nasty words, and then walked off.
Yeah, you know, like I said, it was a very small, very religious community, and I was already regarded as trouble, yeah.
I would have been burnt at the stake. If it's a small religious community, I'm done. I'm toast.
Well, you know, the deal was that probably the only thing that prevented that from happening was it was, you know,
it was illegal?
Yeah. Yeah. It was illegal. That was probably what protected me, yeah. And, you know, communities like that are great, though, because they do have a lovely sense of community and community involvement. But, you know, that failure to conform sentence that can be put on your head if you're ever convicted of that particular flaw can be rather a heavy one, too. And failure to conform, I have to admit, was my thing. So, ladies, you know, have you always conformed to the social norm?
Never. Almost never. I was born as a nonconformist into a quiet New Hampshire community. amongst a bunch of relatives who were actually fairly open-minded, a bunch of ones that were completely closed-minded. And you can imagine the trouble I had with the ones that were closed-minded, so... Things you don't say to my great aunt. You know, you don't discuss the paranormal with her. She doesn't fit into that. And the rest of them, they tend to get angry for dumb reasons. So you just appreciate them for who you are, and you don't expect much.
And you, November?
I don't conform, but I don't advertise.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, I can go out and do my own thing and not have to care what anybody thinks, but I mean, I don't have to do it in a grand way so everybody can stop
you. Don't have to wave a flag while you're doing it.
No, I just do my own thing. And I mean, good grief, I do extraterrestrial research. I just wrote a book on abductions. Come on. And you should see my conservative family.
You know, though, they're supporting of that, and that is one thing that I have found. Even people, if they're family members anyways, in general, even though their ideas view diversely from you, they can still get together and have a great time and not have to ream on each other about all the, you know, differences.
Like I say, I like them for who they are, and I don't expect much, and, you know, I actually don't advertise around them because it's pointless to get everybody's horns up, so.
Right, I've been from a lot of preachers, teachers, you know, politicians and the like, and the Southern Baptist preachers are notoriously not real thrilled with this particular topics that I discuss a lot on my radio show.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, family reunions, I really just don't, you know, I don't wear T-shirts that say aliens are here.
No, that's not a...
See, I would. I guess that's the nonconformist. It wouldn't bother me any. You know, I'd have to take a lot of ribbing over it, but...
I'd forget and accidentally do it.
Well, it's possible I would forget, but, you know, I try not to agitate where it's not necessary. Like I'm often telling my daughter, pick and choose your battle. You don't have to fight over everything. Some things, winning isn't worth having. And so you just kind of, you know, some things, like I said, you just let it go. It doesn't matter. And, learning to pick and choose your battles has been... a long learning process for me. I tend to be a little on the hard-headed side for some reason. Although my daughter didn't inherit it from me. She inherited it from her father, right? And in my daughter, it's called stubborn, not hard-headed. Or determined or anything like that. No, she's just stubborn. Yeah. It's funny how we do things like that, though. We fail to see the flaws that, especially same-sex children, share with us, and then when we do see them, it obviously came from the other side of the family.
But mine has a laundry list of flaws for me that keeps growing every year, and every time she adds another one to the pile, it always gets a little bit more exciting. I've learned not to react to it anymore. There over the holiday, I was like, yeah, I said your laundry list of flaws is deeper than I am tall.
She's
wonderful, and I love my mother, and she loves me too. But she just remembers everything you ever did.
Oh yeah. Well, you know, to some people, remembering those little flaws. I tend to be an optimist, so I tend to forget not only mine but other people.
Yeah. To me, character, you know, is everybody's little quirks and things like that, and I actually appreciate them a lot.
Sometimes what you see as a flaw may not actually be a flaw.
Right.
It's a quirk of character that is adapted to different circumstances than maybe what you're applying it to. Just because someone isn't a good cook, that being a bad cook isn't necessarily a character flaw, but they might be really good at artwork or mechanics or, you know, something else.
That's true.
So,
I have things I'm really good at, and I have things that I'd rather leave alone, you know, and fortunately, in my marriage, my husband takes care of the things that I'd rather leave alone, and I take care of the things that he would rather leave alone.
Uh-huh. So that's what's great about a partnership, you know, especially if you achieve a sense of balance.
Mm-hmm.
It does make for things to go much, much smoother.
That's true.
You know, when I look back at the guest list of all the people that have appeared on this show, and I think about all the topics that we've talked about, you know, I didn't always agree with everything every guest said, but I think there was merit in everything that everybody said, even if it wasn't something I necessarily agreed with.
You know what I really like? I like a guest who has a passion for their subject. I mean, I don't have to necessarily agree with what their subject is, and I can usually find elements in just about anything anybody says that I'll find something in common with. But the ones that really have a passion for whatever their subject is, whether it's a ghost hunter, a UFO chaser, a spiritualist, a doctor, whatever it is, I like that passion for their subject.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And that's important, you know, to be able to find things that are inspiring of a person's passion. And if we can't...
Great.
If a, you know, why would I have a guest on who's like, well, yeah, I saw a ghost and I waved to it and gave it some sugar peeps and all was good. All right, that's not interesting, you know, not to me, you, or anybody else. But, you know, if they're really excited about seeing that ghost and giving them some sugar peeps, you know, then it's different.
You know, right, and if you have the opportunity to learn something, too, because maybe you had a guest who was bringing a topic that wasn't familiar to you previously, then that's...
Oh, yeah, I get new topics.
You have opportunities to learn and grow all the time, and... Yeah, certainly don't have to agree with every single thing.
There's
yeah, I've got
questions in the virtual auditorium.
I had a guest that did dowsing for healing. Okay, I had never heard of dowsing for healing before. And during the program, he actually did a session on me for my allergies. I was like, okay. I really didn't have any expectations of it working. I wasn't even sure exactly what he was getting at it, you know, especially at first. And I've had a dramatic reduction in the frequencies of allergic flare-ups.
See,
was it psychosomatic? I don't think so.
Yeah.
How did it work? Don't ask me. You know, I can't answer that. But it apparently
did. See, you stayed open. You had him on. You took a chance. You stayed open. And you got healed.
I think yeah, I mean, are they gone completely? Well, no. Am I going to start consuming the things that I'm allergic to? Oh, no. But, you know, for me it was a case of some of the things I was allergic to are hidden, you know, in very obscure locations. Like, citrus sounds like a really innocuous allergy. So you realize that most ascorbic acid, citric acid, natural flavorings, et cetera, that involve any citrus flavor are also citrus-derived. And even a vitamin C tablet would give you incredible hives.
Mm-hmm.
So a one-a-day was beyond me. I mean, don't even think about me taking a one-a-day vitamin or, you know, one of these all-in-one vitamins. Because unless it was labeled citrus-free, it was going to cause me to have an allergic reaction. So, you know, to not have to worry, you know, things like condiments. Most people don't realize they contain little tiny amounts of lemon juice or ascorbic acid or citric acid or whatever. And those things would be enough to cause me to have an allergic reaction.
Did you prepare all your own food then? So then you don't have to worry about it? And do you stay away from prepackaged food?
Well, yeah, you know, when I'm having a series of bad flare-ups, I cannot eat in rest. At one point, I couldn't eat in any restaurant that served beer on premises.
Really?
Because I was allergic to hops, okay? My allergy was so severe that I could not be at an outdoor function where beer was being served. I would start to swell up immediately. So, you know, for me, it was, you know, serious allergy. The peanut allergy people you hear about, I was that way about hops, even the fumes in the air. Over time, that one's gotten better. Actually, about 8-9 years ago, I had some spilled on my skin and nothing happened. Because when it happened, it was like, you know, it touched me. Oh, my God, what am I going to do? And nothing happened. Because I was so paranoid about it, because once you've gone into one of these severe reactions where your airway's starting to get obstructed and you've got to have a shot right now, you do. Your paranoia is normal. Okay, it's unavoidable. Anytime anybody threatens my ability to breathe, I get really, really testy, you know? And that was what hops did to me. And so the end result was that... I couldn't go in, I couldn't go many places at all because, well, fish often is beer batter fried. Okay, I couldn't eat anything in that restaurant that was going to touch that oil. Or to use the same counters, or the cook touch the batter and then touch my food. I just couldn't eat there. Sausages are often made either cooked in beer before they're grilled or beer's included in them. I don't know why, but didn't go to a sausage place either.
Good.
you know, all sorts of places I couldn't go. And just adapted to it. I mean, okay, so people thought I had strange teetotaling philosophies where I wouldn't even go to an outdoor function if somebody had beer there. Well, you know, it wasn't that. You know, but trying to explain it to people who've never had an allergic reaction, they just don't understand. It's trying to, trying to explain living with diabetes or a diabetic child to someone who's never experienced it. They really don't understand, or trying to explain alien abduction experiences to a non-experiencer. They don't truly get the experience. It's just really a tough one to explain.
Hmm. Well, I have a friend of mine's little girl has celiac disease. So gluten intolerant completely. I mean, she was so sick for so long, they couldn't figure out why. They finally determined it was celiac disease. And, you know, and after she pretty much trashed herself for so many years, and here's this kid, she's all of 10 years old, having to manage this disease. And she's amazing. She just understands what she needs to do, and she's very matter-of-fact about it, explains it properly when she goes places, and a tough little cookie.
Yeah, I think actually young children, my daughter was 15 when she was diagnosed, and I think she fought it harder than most younger kids do. Younger kids seem to take it more in stride. Older ones seem to take it more personal, which was kind of strange. I thought I was the only one dealing with some of the issues that I dealt with a teenage diabetic. Until I discovered the world of the online community. Now, folks, any of you who have any issues in your family, online communities can be wonderful, especially if you live in remote areas where a physical support group is not available. To discover that, you know, these fights where the insulin becomes a tool in this, you know, very difficult teenage daughter and mother relationship anyhow, where the insulin also becomes a tool in the whole dynamics of a teenage girl with poor body self-image and so forth and so on, because we all went through that. Being a teenager, people who say, oh, I wish I could be 16 again, they're nuts. They're absolutely nuts. To go through those raging hormones, the lack of self-confidence, the self-doubt, the painful growth experiences, you know, for me, it was, being a teenager was an agonizing thing. You know, I wasn't sure who I was, let alone what my place in the world was. And you're trying to become an independent person and, you know, all that kind of stuff. And people who say being a teenager is perfect are the nuts, I swear.
Wouldn't go back. This is my last lifetime. I'm not coming back. I've had enough of this shit.
That's what I tell everybody. I'm going someplace else. And maybe we can have dinner at the restaurant at the other end of the universe.
That sounds good. We'll go to what galaxy is it? What's a good galaxy to go to these days?
Oh, I don't know. Let's see.
Brian, I don't know.
Yeah, sure, that's fine. They probably have a Crab Nebula restaurant there. We can go there.
There you go. Mm-hmm. They might have some good pasta and garlic and oil or something like that.
Sure, you bet. There's some questions.
And how about
there.
You, Angelica? You've been kind of quiet over there in the corner.
Busy snickering.
Yeah, I'm laughing. You guys are funny.
Yeah.
Well, Angelica, I have a question for you, because the virtual auditorium's got questions in there. And somebody wants to know what is your passion?
Oh, my passion is learning.
Oh,
wow. I
want to
know the truth.
Well, at some point, I hope to establish a rescue that will take the middle-aged and older animals out of the shelters. Those are the animals who rarely ever get adopted, and place them with the lonely, isolated, homebound senior citizens.
Oh, good.
Another
idea.
Forgotten population.
Oh, that's noble.
And that will require
that.
A lot of volunteers and a lot of staff to go in there to take care of the animals, because these are the people who really, you know, can't take care of themselves or animals. But all of them together, I think they'll really thrive.
Actually, animals are supposed to be good for the elderly. My mother had a stroke about a year ago, and they brought in German shepherds, of all things, on a daily basis to visit the stroke patients. Of course, it terrified the heck out of me. but it was so great for them. I was really amazed just how the animals were in the hospital. It was amazing.
Yeah, it's great. They make such a difference.
You know, when my daughter would be in the hospital, which she often was as a teenager, they would bring in those therapy animals. And even though often she wasn't, you know, real particularly sick, she was thrilled, always. But, ladies, guess what? We are through the first hour, and it is time for us to take a break. So, folks, while we're away from your computer, check out our website, www.exogenynetwork.com. Stay tuned, and the Dawn of Shades will return with our guests, Terry, November, and Angelica. Welcome back to the Dawn of Shades. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and once again, I want to remind everybody, visit the website, www.exogenynetwork.com. Sign up for that giveaway. We're going to give away something wonderful, and you don't want to miss out. It's pretty easy to do so as well. You can also wander around, check out the website, let me know what you think of it. There are links there to take you to blogs, Twitter, and Facebook. If you have a question that you wish to have asked, you can email it to me at gscott@gmail.com. I'm monitoring the email during the program with Angelica in November and Terry tonight, and I'm trying real hard not to miss anything. And that includes in the Pal Talk chat room. So if you want to put things through on the virtual auditorium, go right ahead. And before we get started and start another topic, ladies, would you each tell everybody where to find your website and whatnot again?
Who starts first?
Angelica, go first.
Hello, my website is www.angelicascards.com.
And November?
My website is voiceofthepeopleradio.com.
And Terry?
Hi, mine is entitiesarus.com.
And that's entities-r-us.
That's right.
.com, right?
Go to Ghost Hunter Comic, you'll find it.
Okay. All right. So, we in the virtual auditorium, we saw a little bit about current events. We talked a little bit about the health care plan, which I'm sure the mainstream news is just chewing the dickens out of. But Google announced that they were no longer censoring results to China. Do you think that's going to mean anything to Americans at all?
No. Not really.
I don't think anybody really cares.
No, you know, a lot of people deeply resent the frequency of Chinese goods being on the American market. They claim that we're being economically taken over by the Chinese, that the Chinese banks hold most of the American government loans and so forth and so on. What do you feel about Chinese products? Do you feel that there's a safety hazard, a health hazard, an economic risk, you know, anything at all?
I don't think it's a big deal. Honestly, I don't. To me, it's like, you know, eventually everything kind of evens out, and it might go all in one pocket for a while, but it all flows back to the other. And I think everyone just gets too wigged out. They make a big mountain out of a molehill, so because of that, it becomes a mountain. And I just think people just get too crazed.
Okay. So, November, what do you think?
I think my biggest problem would be, I'm not worried about the quality or anything like that of their products. Is, you know, in our country, we used to have a lot of manufacturing jobs. You know, young people that got out of school that really weren't college-bound material. And I'm not saying that anybody in particular can't go to college. I'm just saying there's just some that just really didn't want that line of life. And there's nothing out there for them, nothing that will offer them, you know, to be able to have a home someday and to be able to support their families. There's just so little of it's left. That's the thing that, you know, that kind of bothers me.
The general loss of you know, manufacturing jobs in the U.S. concerns you.
Yeah.
How about you, Angelica?
Well, if we're one Earth, one world, and global economy, then, you know, all the countries have to work together. I think a lot of things disappeared from the U.S. before China got involved. There was less and less interest. People weren't going into those jobs, or they couldn't afford to do it. Companies couldn't stay in business. On the other hand, you know, it's hard to not see much of anything made here anymore. You know, good and bad. I don't know.
I guess, okay, first we saw the manufacturing jobs go abroad, okay? And yes, I could understand that they could make things far cheaper. Like a lot of other people, you know, is it fair for people to be able to produce products violating American child labor laws because it's legal in their country to have six-year-olds working in a factory? You know, there's some issues there. But what concerns me a lot now is then we saw our technology jobs go abroad. But now a low-tech job, or rather low-tech, customer service. Okay, customer service used to be you called your local business and you talked to somebody about a problem you were having with a product or a service or whatever. Now you call, you know, then centralized things came about and you'd be calling South Carolina from California or vice versa to talk to somebody about a problem you were having in your neighborhood. Now when, and if you can call anybody, okay, because I recently have been dealing with a billing issue I'm having with a major corporation. There is no number to call anymore. They discontinued telephone customer support. Now you send them an email. Yes. And you forget the bicycle pedaling away to power the laptop. You get these answers that are obviously written by somebody that doesn't speak English as a primary language. And, you know, you want to slap somebody. Okay, just to put it bluntly, you were aggravated with the problem, with the response to your initial inquiry. You're now angry. No wonder they no longer have tech support. You want to physically abuse somebody. I'm not normally a violent person. Why is customer service this bad?
They don't get offended if they don't speak the language. Am I right?
Oh, man, you know. Tech support, I mean, we make jokes about tech support, you know, the bicycle routine. Okay, and I really resent dealing with a company that all of their services are based in the United States, and yet they outsource their customer support to a foreign country.
India.
Yeah, and Pakistan and whatever other country. I guess Russia is getting a chunk of it now, too. All right, and the people don't speak English, and their accent is sometimes so thick that you have difficulty understanding them. We have enough trouble within the United States understanding strong accents. I mean, we've got a lot of dialects in the United States, and if somebody is particularly strong, someone from another area may have some difficulties. But, you know, when I call a company that's providing a service in New Orleans, I really would prefer to deal with customer support being in the United States. The product isn't imported. The service isn't imported. Why is tech support imported? Or, you know, customer support. Oh, yeah. That just really, really, really makes me crazy. Yeah. It's so bad that I've decided that from now on to limit potential problems, each one of these companies that you pay with your handy-dandy little plastic card that ultimately comes out of your bank account is now going to get their own little prepaid plastic card so that they cannot overcharge me because I won't put extra money on it. That's what I'm going to have to do. And it's the only way I can figure to solve the problem, because it's going to take me probably 2 months to settle this. In the meantime, you know, for me, it's a fairly good-sized chunk of money that is tied up in this problem. And I want to slap somebody. You know, really. Real hard with a baseball bat. Yeah. Because if I was late paying them, they'd cut the service off.
I had, Cablevision decided that, Time Warner. I moved and I returned all my stuff and all, and they gave me a check back. Then they decided they weren't supposed to give me a check back because I canceled the service just like a month too early. So then I lost money back, and they wanted everything back, and they're going to cancel my service. I'm like, well, wait a second. Are you kidding me? So I had to transfer out of my bank account to repay what they had already paid me for
being my... Well, it's about a year ago now. Company I worked at was in DSL through the local phone company. And after they'd had it for 6 months, the phone company says, oh, you don't qualify for DSL service, so we're going to cut it off. So they did so. And despite the company's protest, we don't want to lose DSL service, this is the only service we had available. It was like, oh, you don't qualify, we can't deliver it anymore. Which wasn't making sense. They'd been delivering it, but okay. They cut us off. We can't get them to turn it back on, no matter what we do. Well, then their billing department was going to charge this exorbitant early termination fee because we canceled our contract.
Are you kidding me?
Canceled the contract. You discontinued the service. Now, is that really fair? Because if I had canceled the contract, then I would have had to pay, you know, this huge fee. But since they canceled the contract, did they have to pay me a huge fee? No. They could just do it at random. You know, we've too long been in regarding these major corporations and utility companies as some sort of demigod. And I think it's time that they learn that they're selling something. You don't have to buy it from them.
Yeah, that's true.
No, we really need open market. Yeah. So that's my rant is on these major corporations and stuff with their horrible customer service and random rules that seem to always put the customer at a disadvantage, like cell phone contracts.
Oh, yeah.
Why are the American people still going through these 2-year cell phone contracts?
Because they don't offer 1-year ones?
Do it. But you know what? This is the only country that does it that way. Why? Because they can get by doing it that way. You know, we are trained to expect to have to sign a 2-year contract and a 1-year contract with various companies. And if we terminate our service early, we expect to have to pay. Other countries don't do it that way. You know, why are we letting them do it to us? And that's what we're doing. We're letting these companies do it to us. Oh, yeah. We just need to, as a group of consumers, we need to make our voices known. Yeah, so, besides customer service, you know, in this last hour, maybe we ought to look forward. What do you anticipate for the coming year?
Anticipate syndication of my cartoon script.
Yeah, I like that one.
That would be a good thing. That would be a good thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, well,
Forbes.
Okay, Angelica, you know, what do you see happening in the coming year?
I think people's consciousness is being raised. I think more and more people are waking up, and I think some of these global natural disasters help to bring people together. They have something to focus on and work together for the good of others. And so I think we'll see more and more of that, which will benefit people and animals and the earth, hopefully.
It would be nice. Sometimes I think that's a rather optimistic view. I have days where I'm kind of pessimistic about the human race as a group. You know, if any race was visiting this planet in search of intelligent life, they'd probably be talking to my dog.
They're not going to come to this planet right now. So long as we're all fighting with each other, it'd be wise to stay away.
The bad neighborhood.
Yeah.
The bad neighborhood of the universe.
Yeah.
We
tend to be a little quarrelsome creatures, I think. What about you, November? What do you see coming in the coming year?
All right, hang on. I got to find my crystal ball. I think we're going to see an increase in solar activity, maybe a little bit of problems from that. I think it's going to get a little bit warmer this year than what it has been in the past few summers. Let's see. I plan to have my free ebook out May 5th. Or sooner, even. Let's see, what else? I might start a new project. I mean, I did the abduction project for the Greys. I'm considering heavily doing the reptilians. Let's see. I don't know, continue my radio show. Try not to drive my family too crazy. You know what? It used to be I could plan ahead, kind of have a general idea of what I was going to be doing and where I was going to be at. Anymore, that just seems to be a worthless endeavor because I really don't know.
Well, you know, let's see. What do I see? Well, Saturday there was a major coronal ejection from the sun. It occurred on the far side of the planet, apparently. They weren't real sure of the exact location. That was used to explain to me why Friday and then Saturday morning people were in particularly bad humor, tended to be a little testy or maybe overly emotional, overreact to situations and so forth and so on. People I talked to, that seemed to be kind of true for, so maybe there was something to it. So more solar activity is apt to cause more events of that nature, you know, where we're going to see on a very personal level where people tend to be emotional and short-tempered and quick to anger, quick to become upset. And is that good for global situations? You know, what happens on an individual level does make ripples in the bigger pond.
This is so true. And I do think, I personally believe solar activity has a lot to do with our own activity. You know, it's the root of evolution. It's just got so much going on. You know, people talk about the full moon and its effects, you know, even though supposedly there is nothing to the full moon. But it does. You ask any police officer, emergency room worker, and they'll just tell you, you know, I know what the research says, but.
Personal experience has said that it's going to be bad during those times.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know that I'm more likely to suffer from severe insomnia during the full moon. Okay, I can have it any time, but I'm more likely to have it during a full moon. But I've also noticed a peculiar thing after I really started paying closer attention. Depends on what time the moon sets. Because the moon rises and sets at different times of the day. It isn't always at night when the full moon's up. Once the moon sets and before it rises, if I go to sleep, you know, before it rises or after it sets, I'm more likely to get some sleep than I am if I try to sleep while it's already risen. So,
do you think
does that make sense?
Because you've fallen asleep before it shines on you? Makes a big difference.
You know, I live with security lights all around me. And because, you know, there's security lights all around this building, okay? It's never dark in the house. You can almost read in the house if you open the shades at night. So as far as the moon shining on me, that's going to have very little effect on me.
That has a
problem. Probably wouldn't notice.
I can't stand light. I live in an apartment where the light came in my face, and I just had to put a towel over my face every time I went to bed.
Okay, yeah. I'm the opposite. I live in the woods, so we had to put outdoor lighting because it was just pitch black out there, and we have a huge 12,000-gallon pond, and I just, there was something spooky about that water down there and no light.
Then you wouldn't like what I used to do is to go check on my horses without, could never find a flashlight, be pitch black. I'd have to feel my way up the top of the hill.
Well, it wasn't that the dark scares me. It doesn't, I mean, the dark doesn't bother me. It's just, I don't know, the idea of not being able to see that pond.
All right.
The blob was going to sneak out of it and come creeping up the hill to your back door.
No, that's the black thing.
The black thing doesn't creep, okay? That son of a gun runs.
Well, that's true.
Yeah.
Monsters. You got to admit it. The sea monsters.
Well, Angelica and Terry, have you ever heard the stories of the black thing?
The black thing? No, I haven't. What black thing are we talking about?
Okay, well, I'll tell you my black thing story. This occurred, my first husband and I were driving down a dirt road that I used all the time going to and from work because it was much, much shorter, even though I had to stop and get out and open up the gates and whatnot. It was much shorter, and especially in bad weather, driving the dirt road was much safer than driving the interstate. Anyhow, we were coming home down that road one night, and this vaguely human-shaped thing started chasing us. And the only way I can describe it, it was like congealed shadows. And the only dramatic representation I've seen that's even close is if you saw the movie, it had Demi Moore in it, Ghost. And those black things that come and get the bad people,
mm-hmm.
kind of like that, all right? It's chasing us. We're driving a Jeep down this dirt road. My husband was driving. I was in the passenger seat. I keep seeing it. He's aware of it. I'm telling him, go faster, faster, faster. Usually I was slow down. I'm faster, faster, faster. The thought that keeps running through my head is if it catches me, it'll be a fate worse than death. All right, this is about as un-me as it could possibly get to think it's a fate worse than death if it catches me. This doesn't make sense, nor does this level of fear which I was feeling. It was the primal panic mode. I couldn't think. I couldn't concentrate. It's just this overwhelming, absolute, complete terror. It stopped chasing us at about a quarter mile from home. We had to make a sharp turn, which we were not going to be able to do at the speed we were going. And it just disappeared, okay? We could slow down, make the turn, go home. I was embarrassed about the incident because, you know, if you're chasing paranormal things, you're not supposed to get scared, right? And that wasn't the case. It scared. So I blamed it on suggestion. I blamed it on all sorts of things. And I didn't say a word to anybody about it. And about a year or so later, I hear someone else describing the same entity in the same response. Well, at that point, I fessed up to my own experience and started searching for others. In the process, I've collected stories. I call it story collecting because it's the only evidence, you know, really. I collected stories in Australia, Europe, the UK, Canada, and the United States. I collected stories from people on foot, on bicycle, on horseback, on motorcycle, and in motor vehicles. And they're all identical. The response is identical. The primal fear is identical. The whole bit. And the only other thing that's universal amongst them all is nobody was ever alone, and of course nobody ever got caught by this thing. But nobody has ever done it wants to do it again. So, that's the story of the black thing. November, did you have anything to add?
No. My experience with it was, it was huge. It was gigantic. It was all-consuming, and it is just shark terror that this thing is actually going to get you. You don't even know what it's going to do. It's just going to, something just horrendous is going to happen. It's almost like a producing a precipitation of fear just to see what you're going to do. I have no idea. And then just when you think that it's going to get you, it's gone.
It's weird. Yeah.
Very strange.
Yeah, so if you ever experience the black thing, in talking to people, the only thing that may possibly have an effect on the black thing, which seems to occur primarily in UFO hotspots, by the way, there's been a couple instances where someone has fired a weapon at it, the muzzle flash, not the bullets. The muzzle flash seemed to have a effect on this thing, whatever it is. And therefore, you know, the people I've talked to feel that one of those, you know, 10 million candle watt spotlights might be the only viable weapon against the black thing. So, when you go creeping about chasing after UFOs, spooky swamp monsters, and Bigfoot, you might want to carry along a 10,000 candle watt rechargeable lamp, just in case black thing comes.
That will give everybody nightmares.
That thing gave me nightmares for long enough. I have to admit that. It really did. It really, really scared me. And I was really embarrassed. I really thought it was occurring only in my mind. And that it was, somehow it was some little game my ex-husband was doing to make me scared. It was caused by suggestion, whatever. But it was not real. I was firmly convinced that was not a real experience, that it was just, some flaw in my character. And I hallucinated the whole thing,
But he saw it too, didn't he?
Yeah, he saw it too. But at the time, I thought, because we were in the process of, we were about to get divorced, okay? I thought, well, maybe he was doing it to scare me. It was a suggestion. Maybe he was humoring me or whatever, I didn't tell anybody about it. November and I used to talk all the time about all this kind of thing. And during the same time period it happened, I never mentioned it for over a year to anybody, not even my mother or my daughter. I mean, nobody did I mention this experience to. I really thought that it was something I had dreamed up. I scared myself somehow. You know how you do that on occasion? Yeah, I was sure I had. So, when somebody else had a similar experience that knew nothing about mine, that seemed to validate my own experience. That makes sense. I really didn't imagine it.
Well, of course.
It's one of those things,
We all like the validation of our experiences. That way we know we're not nuts.
I'm not. I know I'm nuts, but, it's a nice, pleasant, fuzzy, warm place, and they all know me there, Yeah. Sometimes that's what it feels like, too, is because I listen to some people who don't see anything paranormal ever. They don't acknowledge the possibility of anything beyond the measurable in the laboratory experience. No one has souls. No one has past lives. No one has future lives. No one has an afterlife. There was no creation. There is no end. Therefore, they're born, they live, they die, and that's it. They're worm food. I'm thinking, boy, you have a boring life. how did you get that? I can remember being young and thinking, okay, I want a boring life, June Cleaver style, live in the same neighborhood my whole adult life, know what's going to happen 10 years from now, the picket fence, the rose garden, and absolute boredom. And I haven't had that a week. I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think bored's in my vocabulary. I haven't been bored since I was 15. Sorry. I just haven't.
Yeah, I often wonder, is my lack of boredom caused by the fact that if my mother ever heard you say, I'm bored, she fixed it? Or is it because the world's that interesting? You know, I'm not really sure. Or maybe did I discover the world was that interesting because if I was ever bored, my mother was going to fix it. And my mom's idea of fixing it involved, you know, taking the walnut and rubbing it in the scratches on the furniture. Another fascinating, long-winded, boring task.
I always just like to do things, you know? I like to have something I can do. I always have plenty to do, so I don't have time to get bored. I have to make time to get bored.
You know, I've tried to make time to get bored. It never happened. I can't remember the last time I was bored. It's like television. People say, what do you do since you don't watch TV? And I'm like, I don't know when I'd have time to watch TV. You know, when would I put TV into my, take out sleeping? I mean, come on, when am I going to fit it into my day? By the time I do the things I do, there isn't time left over for TV. And trying to understand people who have this huge fixation on these imaginary characters and their imaginary storyline where they have to be sitting passively in front of that TV promptly at 9 o'clock or whatever time the program comes on, or they're going to miss it. I mean, like, come on, TV program, you know? Don't they still have VCRs or some equivalent?
Oh, they here at this house, they've got all that high-tech DVRs and, I don't know, HD TVs and all that kind of stuff. And I hardly, I mean, I do watch a movie from time to time, but I rarely, you know, I don't get into series or anything like that. But I'll tell you, the rest of my family, TV junkies. And so, you know what? They have it paused when they got to go get something to eat. They have it paused when somebody calls on the phone. And then if you do sit down to watch TV, they're recording so much stuff, you have to go through and cancel some other shows just so you can see 5 minutes of the news. Nuts.
Yeah, that's way too confusing for me. I did buy a TV a couple years ago. It gets used when my daughter comes to visit and occasionally when I have a DVD to watch. And it's low-tech because the DVD thing is built right in the TV, which tells you it's not a very big one. I mean, how big do it I want? You know, it's hard to store it behind the futon if it's big. My daughter, I'll never forget the look on her face. She comes to visit and she says, Mom, where's your TV? I said, behind the futon. She looked at me like I was nuts. I said, I don't watch it. Where else was I going to put it? And she digs it out and dusts it off because I hadn't had it out in a couple of years. So, you know, there was no reason to move the futon. She can dust off the dog hair and dust bunnies and it worked just fine, sort of, kind of. Yeah, that particular TV got killed by Katrina, though. I mourned almost 2 minutes as I carried it to the dumpster. Actually, what happened was, with her here, she was visiting me when Katrina came, the TV was sitting on a shelf beside a window facing the north. And the windows, I live in an old house, and the windows on the north and the west side let water come in. Apparently, the rain came real hard from those directions. And it apparently got water in it, and it shorted it out. That was the same TV that was, I swore it was possessed, which is part of the reason it was behind the futon. When it was still plugged in, it would flip, it would turn itself on, and it would start going through channels. And when you don't watch TV, and you're sitting and doing something, and your TV's, and you live alone, and your TV suddenly does that, it's really creepy.
I could have thought.
And I said something to somebody about the TV being possessed, and they said, oh, the dog must be landing on the remote. And I'm thinking, well, you ain't been at my house in a while. Where I don't watch TV, I stored the remote on top of the TV, all right, because otherwise I'd never remember where it was. There was no way anything landed on it.
Did you have, like, a pull-down control pad?
No. It was an old-fashioned dial.
Walk up to the television, if you flip it down, and there's a pad that you can turn the stuff off and on. If you, like, rip that off, because I had one that did that, I ripped it off. It never did that again. I had to use the remote to change the channels.
This one actually had dials that you turned to change the channels. Anyhow, I unplugged it. I told everybody, if it still turns on, it flips your channels, I'm leaving the house and we're coming back. It never did. And after Katrina, it went to the dumpster, and I mourned it a couple of minutes while I was walking back. And that was the end of it. And then I did, you know, buy another little TV where it had the DVD player in it. And occasionally I do watch a movie. I haven't watched one yet this year. I think I watched one last year. I'm pretty sure I watched one the year before. Movies and TV, to me, is passive entertainment. And you have to remember to sit there and not do anything else. Because with me, it would be a case of, I would start to do something else and forget that I was watching the program. And then I'd come back and it's all over with. I was like, well, crap, I wasted that 15 minutes when I paid attention. And, you know, I broke the habit so many years ago on the TV things that I really just don't get into it. And it's weird that when you don't watch TV, I think it affects your brain in a different way. For me, it's almost like I hate having a conversation with a TV on in the room. It's like it hypnotizes me. It does something strange. I don't know. Yep. I see in the virtual auditorium, someone's predicting that the world that we know will end on 11-11 of 11.
That's to get them to stop talking about health care. I'm not kidding you. I'm just so health cared out. I am a liberal in a family of Republicans, and let me tell you, I stand my ground, but now, I say liberal, but I do believe in the death penalty. Anyways, I stand my ground, but I'll tell you, I sure take a beating every time. I got them just coming at me at all sides. Blah, 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 blah. And it's just like, go away. I don't even want to talk about this. And they just, so, you know, my practicing this weekend was somebody bring up the health care plan. I'd say, so, have you seen this movie? It, you know, it's pretty good. And every time they brought it up, I said something about, how about that television program? My daughter watches that. If you, just anything to get them to stop talking about it. My gosh, they were ready to get out the muskets and march on the White House.
You know, it's funny. My grandmother was a diehard, rabid Democrat. All right, she would have rolled in her grave if she ever realized that I registered as a Republican in a Republican county so that I could vote in the primary, because that was where all the decisions were made locally. There was no Democratic candidate, so if you weren't a Republican, you got no say in who was going to be on the ticket. So I registered as a Republican. Seemed like a logical thing to me, since I really didn't care either way. I have also, at other places I've lived, registered as a Democrat. I kind of, you know, most of my family's that way, though. They kind of tend to be piecemeal, a little of this and a little of that. They don't ever vote straight ticket and so forth and so on. Which she would hate. I mean, I can remember when I was little, she was telling me, you always vote straight Democrat, straight ticket. And I'm thinking, why? Why vote, you know? But I don't think as many people are that devoutly devoted to the party as it used to be, though.
I think they should abandon the party altogether.
I'm not even registered as a party. I'm an independent. That way I can do it the way I want to. Sometimes I vote for Republicans. Sometimes I vote for the Green Party. I vote for who I feel I want. End of story.
Oh, you, when I registered as Republican or Democrat, I voted for who I wanted. The only place it makes a difference is during the primaries. Because during a primary, at least in the states I've lived in, you only get to vote on the people of the same political party as yours. So when you would go to vote for candidates, say if you're registered as an independent, you only get to vote about the independent people that are on the ticket. You didn't get to vote about the Republicans or the Democrats. Well, if you live in a county or, you know, whatever political designation, county, parish, whatever, that is predominantly or completely one party or the other, that means that, like the one place I lived, all the candidates for local offices were Republican candidates. There were no Democrat candidates. If you weren't registered as a Republican, there was nobody for you to vote on at the local level. So you didn't have any say in what happened in your city or in your county or your parish or whatever. And that would be why I chose to register. Was I firmly a member of the Republican Party? No. Was I firmly a member of the Democratic Party? No. I would say that, you know, politically I tend to be an independent conservative liberal. Yeah, how do you like that one? In some ways I'm rather conservative, in other ways I'm very liberal. But definitely, you know, yeah, independent is, because I vote according to the candidate, not according to the party.
Right. I just see it also just creating a lot of wars. Well, like I said, just what was happening in my own family, it's like, God, you guys, give it a break. Can we talk about flowers or something? It was just like, I mean, they're so up in arms, and but it's not just my family. It's a lot of people, you know, from both sides.
I get all this email from the family that we have, from different family members, that, you know, anti-Obama this, anti-Obama that, and pro-Sarah Palin this, and pro-Sarah
Palin. Oh, gosh, Sarah Palin is threatening that.
Delete. I'm like, can't we start saying good things about our elected officials? Can't we say nice things about these people? Because
we might have to elect new ones.
If we concentrate on the good points, the bad points might kind of fall off, and they might get better. You know, it's like
positive reinforcement.
You know.
Well, you know, you got to remember, I live in a city that reelected someone with their federal indictment for accepting bribes. He'd already been indicted, and he was reelected, okay? You know, politics, I don't understand it here at all. Not that I've ever understood it anywhere, really, but it makes very little sense. When I first moved to Louisiana, it was like, Louisiana, vote early, vote often. Jokes about my truck could actually get a voter registration card. Now, a lot of people's perception of Louisiana is that their politics are really that crooked. That's not really true. They just tend to make more jokes about it, and it tends to come out into public view more often. Corruption exists, I think, in every state. And I have known some states that were way worse than this one, where, you know, average citizens actually knew, you know, whose palm you had grease in order to get things, you know, the permit you needed or whatever. And that's, it isn't like that here. You know, so, you know, we make jokes about Louisiana politics and New Orleans in particular, but, you know, I don't think it's any worse than any place else at all. I think corruption is just sort of a thing that used to be overlooked more than it is now. Sort of like the whole deal, remember way back with Clinton and what was she called? That girl.
Monica Lewinsky.
Pardon?
Yeah, Monica Lewinsky.
Yeah. You know, there was a time that nobody, they'd have snickered behind their hands and nobody would have brought it up on the news. You know, he wasn't the first president to get caught with his pants down, you know? No way. But, you know, he was the first one to have it dragged out like that. You know, so, you know, this, we're seeing a change. Is it a change in expectations? Is it a change in our reporting? You know, this last presidential election was the first one where they felt the internet played a huge part in candidate selection and made a difference in the ultimate election. Do you think that's true?
I'm sorry, what did you say?
That this last election with the internet playing such a big part, the statements have been made that it made the difference in who got elected and who didn't. Do you think it's true?
It drew in a lot of younger voters who grew up with computers and the internet.
Uh-huh.
You know, where they get their information and everything. So I think it definitely helped to reach out to that generation.
Yeah, you know, sometimes I think we're being drowned in information because there can be so much out there that we get so involved in collecting information we fail to take action with the information. But I think it did make a difference. You know, I was talking to my mom earlier today, and I said, well, I follow Barack Obama on Twitter. She's like, Twitter? I said, well, him or somebody in the office does. And, you know, she's like, she's trying to get her mind around the idea of a president twittering. and you know she's probably thinking it over still. And you know, have we ever had one that did before? No. Well, Twitter didn't exist before. Twitter's a relatively new phenomena.
It's a great marketing.
Yeah, you know, I've been using Twitter, about 6 months actively, probably. Greg's been using it much longer. It was new when he first started with it, and he didn't do much with it at first because there weren't that many users. But Twitter is really, really a huge, huge thing. And trying to explain it to people, as people particularly of, say, age 50 and over, I'm pushing 50. You know, I'll be 49 next month. You know, so, you know, maybe 60 and over, just, you know, a little bit of an age gap. Trying to explain to them what is Twitter and why is it useful in terms of a marketing tool, of an information dissemination tool, of news dissemination. You know, they're like, it doesn't make any sense, even when you show it to them. And finally, I heard the best description. That's one I'm going to be sticking with. It's like a 140-character marquee, and it displays information. You can choose to read it or not. You can choose which channels by choosing which people you follow. You're going to follow the information that they follow. And there again, you choose to read it or not. And then when you feel you have something to say, your message goes on that marquee. And that seems to create an image that more people are comfortable with. You know, and it is kind of a, you know, I guess a visual thing, a new thing that doesn't necessarily make sense to people who've never gotten into it. Because at first it's like, I don't know about this. The whole social networking thing, I fought it tooth and nail. Okay, I don't think November was all thrilled with it either. I use Facebook every day. Sometimes it's just play games and it's a distraction. Sometimes it's to send messages back and forth between myself and family members and friends. Sometimes it's just to, you know, look to see what other people are up to. I have read some very interesting articles from social networking sites and Twitter. I've come across websites I wouldn't have encountered otherwise. And, you know, that's been mind-expanding in a way. How about you guys? What do you think of those phenomena?
You know how long I've resisted. I'm barely on Facebook and LinkedIn now.
Yeah, yeah.
Just a little bit. It's a lot to learn. It's totally different. Websites make sense to me. These other ones will take a little longer for me to really understand.
People are wanting more interaction, and that's what Facebook and Twitter gives them the sense of. Is it really more interaction? I don't know. I know that it's social networking time-consuming. It is time-consuming. It is a time vacuum. It's like, sucks it up. I finally had to restrict which ones that I actively use because there's MySpace, there's LinkedIn, there's Academy, there's this one, there's that one, there's Facebook and blah, 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 blah. And, you know, I was finally like, you know, I don't even remember what my login password is anymore. There's too many of them. I do have a Facebook account. It's just a page. I don't go there. I don't do anything with it. I found that Facebook seemed geared more for the younger generation. I'm a little set in my ways, okay? I would prefer to commune with people closer in age and interest. Facebook fit better.
Yeah, I like Facebook for, you know, conversing with my family, but then all the paranormal people found me there, and so it's kind of overrun with paranormal talk, which is fine, except my relatives, I think, are a little annoyed.
Yeah, you know what? I just lumped them all together. I did.
I did
the family, the classmates, the paranormal people. Just threw them all in there, and I thought, you know what? If somebody doesn't like something, I think there's a delete button. They could just take me out.
Yeah, and there's a neat little feature, hide this application. So if they don't want to see whatever somebody's posting, you know, they just hide it. And I do the same thing if I don't want to watch, you know, puppy wagtails or whatever it is, you know. I just click on hide this application, and I don't have to look at it again. And that works, you know, that works for everybody. But guess what, ladies? We are getting down to the wire. We had an awful lot of fun tonight. This is very much laid back as we sort of discuss the world and dissected it a little bit here and there. So any last thoughts that you want to leave the audience with?
Go buy my
and
book.
And Zelikow. Go with you first.
I'm ready. Angelica,
did we lose
Angelica?
I'm here. Oh, you want me to say something?
Oh.
Yes. Yes, yes, yes. Last thoughts to leave the audience with. Even your website is a good thought.
AngelicasCards.com. Check out my cards. Love your animals. Be good to them. They're doing more for you than you can possibly realize.
Yes, and Angelica's cards are actually pretty cool. I like them. I play with them on occasion. I don't play with them every day. But, Angelica, please don't take offense for it, but it's like tarot for dummies. The regular people like me can manage these. I don't have to learn vast, complicated things. Everything's right on card, so there's no big, fat books.
Oh, I designed them to be very easy for regular folk. Just for
They're very easy. If you have any intuitive skills at all, they work well for your pets. You can also use them on your human companions, because believe me, most women would agree there's not much difference between your husband and a dog some days.
You have friends who use them with their little children, especially, you know, kids who are too young to talk. The kids will actually carry the decks to them when they want to tell their parents something.
Yeah. Oh, really? They're very, very simple.
Yeah,
very
just
simple.
Instead of veterinary, just assume it's medical, you know?
Yeah.
You can...
And parasites, yeah. Parasites can be everything from chemical addictions to, addictions such as being a workaholic or, TV or whatever. So, you know, you just kind of got to shift the meanings a little bit. And it works quite well if you have any intuitive skills at all.
And if you have none, it'll still work.
Yeah. Terry, we're going to go to you next.
Check out Entity Zareth Ghost Hunter Comic for daily paranormal humor. Go buy my book. People say it's really good. So, very exciting.
You know what? A little paranormal humor goes great. I've never, until I was introduced to Terry, the concept of paranormal humor had not occurred to me, or paranormal comics, and it's like, that's cute, I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, check out her website.
Yeah,
you
I got some
page
sweet.
On the Odyssey Network, too, that'll link you to her website as well. Any more saying, Terry?
I got some new EVPs this week, and some of them are kind of funny, so.
Okay, cool. And November.
Oh, well, gosh, Gia, thank you, I've enjoyed the program. I have a free ebook coming out soon. I'm waiting for my editors, and I don't know. I'm more interested in to see what kind of feedback I'm going to get, because I'm expecting all kinds from all different arenas, and some good and some bad. And I'm really interested to get it out there and just see what I'm going to get. I don't know. If you'd like to listen to my radio program, it's on Voice of the People Radio Saturday evening, 6 to 8 Pacific, on the same network as this.
All right, cool. And, folks, with that, I want to thank everybody for appearing tonight on the program. I've had a lot of fun. This is a great anniversary program. I'm looking forward to another great year on the Dawn of Shades. I would like to also remind everyone to check out the website and sign up for the free prize, okay? And I hope everybody else has enjoyed the program as much as I have. It has provided you plenty of food for thought and a little bit of illumination for your personal journey towards truth. Join us again next week for another episode of The Dawn of Shades, and it's sure to be another fascinating conversation. With that, I'm out of time. I'm your host, Gia Scott, and good night.
Great music is always better live, and Vivid Seats is your source for concert tickets nationwide. Click our banner to find the tickets you want and get the service you deserve.